And so things aren't always what they seem. And this friend of mine, he was, I just mentioned this, but he was, in case you didn't hear it, he was in my church in Hong Kong, and later on left and lives in Singapore. And he sent this video to me, and I'd already decided, I'd already have a sermon done called Things Aren't What They Seem. And the reason I'm saying this to you is because we live in a day and time when things aren't what they seem. Somebody came up to me, you go through, how have people been through adversity? Somebody said, well, adversity doesn't come from God. Who said it doesn't? Huh? Hey, amen. Who said God doesn't allow us to go through adversity? Sometimes what we think is good isn't good, and what we think is bad isn't bad. And so God is far, far bigger than we understand. There's folks that are maybe here tonight, and your life is one big mess. You look back over your life, you had relationship problems, family problems when you're growing up. Maybe you've done things that you regret. Maybe you're a drug addict and you kind of feel that, man, there's nothing for me. My life is a mess. My life is a failure. And my whole life is full of failures. My whole life is full of just mistakes. And it's like it never changes. But how do you know it's not going to change? How do you know that when God gets involved that He can't change everything around? Sometimes when you feel that you're at the end, you're only at the beginning of something better. Since we were last here, we had an experience in our church where it was the strangest thing I've ever seen. But I was determined that I came to Albany for one purpose. And that purpose was to see a Holy Ghost move of God. That it wasn't just going to be in our local church or just in the town we live in, but it was going to be in the whole Willamette Valley and was going to be within the Northwest. And we began to contend for that. How many people know when you contend for things, the devil just doesn't back off and run and flee? Amen. It was full on. All of a sudden, I thought, man, what's going on? And all of a sudden, we had some guys rise up in our church and about 70 people left. And you know what? And I thought, oh, man, what is this? And the reason they left is I preached a sermon on kingdom authority. And you know what my points were? It was this. Submit to those in authority. Obey those in authority. Remember those in authority and honor those in authority. Come on now. I tell you, the Holy Ghost is on the move. God's about to do a work in it. He's doing not about to. He's doing a work in our lives. He's doing a work in the church, and we know that judgment begins in the house of God. We know that. But you know what? When it begins in the house of God, it ends in the world. And so God, I've decided, and I've noticed that the Lord seems to be doing a separating the sheep from the goats, the big fish from the little fish. The wheat from the tares, there's a separate, and it's actually going on right now. Because God is interested in who you are and who I am. Amen. See, anybody can come to church, carry a Bible, have a smile, even tithe. You can sing, you know, great songs. Oh, yeah. And you can feel. See, something happened. God began to speak to me. You know, you can sing some worship, and you really feel that. Whoa, man, I've got goosebumps. Anybody have experienced that? And I'm not saying that ain't God, and I'm not saying that the Holy Ghost, but I'm telling you this. There was it was a crazy thing, but I was watching American Idol. And some guys came up and sang, and I felt the same kind of a thing. But God weren't in that. So I said, man, you know, is it possible that we can begin to worship sometimes and we feel a little goosey and we feel good? And it's just an emotional, sensual thing. And there's nothing. You know what the word hocus pocus means? It means nothing changes. That's what the word hocus pocus, hocus pocus, nothing changes. You know, I began to consider a lot of worship songs that people sing. Man, there's a lot of songs that I really like. But God began to deal with me this last year that we sing a lot of great worship songs. And it's nice, but the, you know, what we're really singing is something completely different. You are exalted. When we're really singing, I am exalted. Look at me. It's all about me, not about you. Because the reality is, it's not the words we speak. The reality is, it's not what we're involved in. The reality is, the life we live. That's the reality. And I had this vision. I saw like a flying saucer. It was a round thing with all these people. And they were talking. They were into socializing. But they weren't into hearing from God. They weren't into hearing God, having God deal with their lives. You know, it's an amazing thing. That when I got saved, when you got saved, when you received Christ as your Savior, what did you do? Well, I tell you what I did. I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I said, Lord, I failed. I'm just miserable. Nothing's worked out for me. So I look to you and I ask you to come into my heart and wash me in your blood. And I receive you as my personal Savior and Lord. And I surrender my life to you. And then the next thing I read was, pick up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow Christ daily. And the only reason somebody picked up a cross was for what? To be crucified. And the Word of God tells us we need to die to ourselves. Well, I was a missionary for over 30 years. And one day I was in Hong Kong. We had great success in China. God had really helped us. Man, we've seen a tremendous, we've got hundreds of thousands of people saved. And one day I said, Lord, I said, okay, I'm willing to stay here the rest of my life. And the Lord says, no, I want you to go back to the United States. Because I grew up, although I'm English, I grew up in Oregon. I said, go back. Well, I don't want to go back to America. That's, you know, that's a Christian nation. The Lord says, you need to go back. Why? Well, I found out once I came back. I left in the church. I said, there was a tremendous move of God when I came back. After being a missionary for over 30-some years, that it was full of lukewarmness, a lot of nice words and kumbayas, but there was a lack of... You know, when the divorce rate is the same in the church as outside the church, something's wrong. When I began to meet people and they said, I won't do business with Christians because Christians are worse than the sinners, because at least with the sinners, when they give you, you know, they give you their words, you take it down on a contract. But I've been ripped off more by Christians, they said, than anyone else. I said, whoa, what's all that about? Oh, some folks realized they could manipulate people and control people and give them a hard luck story. I've had a lot of hard luck stories. We've helped a lot of folks, and it doesn't mean to say we ain't going to keep helping them. But I tell you what, there's a thing called self-entitlement at work. Where people are going to help themselves. And the Lord said, I want worship. I want true worship. And what is true worship? A reasonable worship. It's to surrender our lives and be living sacrifices to Christ. See, I'm telling you, God's coming back for a powerful church. He's coming back for a church that's washed in the blood of the Lamb, that it's not about me and not about you. And, well, I don't like the way she looked at me. You know what he said? You know what she said? Who cares? It's not about you. Wake up. It's about Jesus. It never was about you. It's about the living God. Knock that stuff off before I come over and give you a spanking. That doesn't sound right. Edit it. And it never was about you. It's all about the things of God. That's what it's about. And the Lord's coming back for a church that's victorious, a church that's overcomers. I like that song you sang as I walked in there, and I was only 1 minute late. Maybe two, that's all. And by the way, I drove from Portland I don't think I was speeding, from Portland to here in less than 2 hours. Is that normal? We were checked into our hotel from the time we left to the time we unpacked, 2 hours. And we asked the Lord to help us get here quick. Something happened, and that's with the wrong turn. Things aren't always what they seem. And so I had a guy in my church, and he was a great guy, and he still is, I guess. But you know what? Little did I know, he was working behind the scenes, causing problems in the church and sowing discord. And all of a sudden, all these guys got together, and off they went. And I said, Lord, what's going on? And I just saw them all socializing, and it's like this whole thing lifted up. into the air and moved. And then it's like a cloud, you know, with cheeks and and they just blew away, just took off. And I said, what the heck? And I felt the Lord say, blown away by every wind of doctrine. See, most of those folks now, they get drunk every day and smoking dope. But, you know, they all get together and they play some Christian songs. And they all feel good. But there's nothing changed. But there are folks here tonight that your life has been a mess. And you that's how it's always been. And you think, man, is there any hope? Will I ever get out of this? Well, you will never get out of it, but God can take you out of it. And it may look like a mess for you now, and your past looks like a mess, but I want to tell you, things will change. Because if you will let the Spirit of God work in you, if you will hearken to His voice, if you will obey His word, if you will just do what's right, He will bring change in your life. And all of a sudden, you'll find yourself as a trophy of God's grace. Where you'll be testifying to others, I was this and this and this and this, and that's where the Lord got a hold of me. 28 years, I was a mess. I ruined my life. But now, things have changed. Who would have ever thought it possible? I want to share with you a little something here. The trials and triumphs of a teenage boy. Anybody have any teenagers in your... God bless their little hearts. I have a friend of mine who's convinced that all teenagers are demon-possessed until they become adults. He may have something... There may be something to that. I don't know. Yes, indeed. A father, passing by his son's bedroom, was astonished to see the bed was nicely made. And I tell you, my son just turned 20. Bless God. I'm believing for change now. This part hasn't happened just yet, but let me move on. A father passing by his son's bedroom was astonished to see the bed was nicely made and everything was picked up. Then he saw an envelope propped up prominently on the pillow. It was addressed Dad. With a worse premonition, he opened the envelope and read the letter with trembling hands. Dear Dad, it is with great regret and sorrow that I'm writing you. I had to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene with you and Mum. I've been finding real passion with Stacy, and she is so hot. But I know you would not approve of her because of all her ear piercings, tattoos, her tight motorcycle clothes. And well, because she is so much older than I am. But it's not only the passion, Dad, she's pregnant. Stacy said that we will be very happy. She owns a trailer in the woods. And she has a stack of firewood for the whole winter. God bless him. We share a dream of having many, many more children. Stacy's opened my eyes to the fact that marijuana doesn't really hurt anyone. We'll be growing it for ourselves and trading it with the other people in the commune for all the cocaine and ecstasy we want. In the meantime, we'll pray that science will find a cure for AIDS. So Stacy can get better. She sure deserves it, Dad. Don't worry, I'm 15 and I know how to take care of myself. Someday, I'll sure we'll be back to visit so you can get to know your many, many grandchildren. Love, your son, Matt. P.S. Dad, none of the above is true. I'm over at Tommy's house. I just wanted to remind you that there are far worse things in life than my report card that's on my desk. Please understand how much I love you both. Call me when it's safe for me to come home. So with that, I want to preach this sermon. Things aren't always what they seem. Let's take a look at our text in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. And I'm reading out the New Living Translation, so if it's a little different to you, that's the reason why. Verse 15, Romans 8. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His... So, man. If we want, who wants to share God's glory? There ain't so many hands going up now. Who wants to share His glory? Come on now. Who wants to share His suffering? Come on, that's all right. It's all right, man. That's way. Let me finish my... Well, okay, let me... Verse 18, remind me, just in case I forget. My wife and I have been through a great deal. I don't know why the Lord took us to Albany. I have no idea. It was a church. It was just a totally dysfunctional building. The people were pretty much dysfunctional. And to be honest with you, the whole legal thing was dysfunctional. And I said, Lord, I was the head of an organization in China. What the heck am I doing here? This is insanity. The Lord said, I have a plan. I said, yeah, turn my hair white. My family were white. I aged 10 years in about a year. So what kind of a plan is that? But you know what? He had a plan. And I want to tell you that when we go through. See, those things we go through enlarge us. When you go through adversity, when you go through difficulty, when you go through setbacks, how many of you guys have gone forward and you end up going backwards about, you know what I'm talking about? Think, dear God, will I ever go forwards? And the answer is, eventually. You know, it may take time. But just remember the guys in the boat with Jesus. Amen. And there was a storm on, and he commanded the winds and waves to stop. And then what happens? They're on the other side. They've been out there toiling for hours all night long trying to get across that lake. Just like that, it was over. I'll tell you what, God allows us to go through sufferings and setbacks and problems, betrayal, all kinds of things. Why? Because He wants to enlarge us. Anybody ever pray that prayer? You come across it, you know, you write down all these promises of God. Enlarge the place of your tent. Extend the pegs. Oh, I claim that in Jesus' name. Or you come up for prayer, and I heard your pastor say, more, Lord, give me more, give me more. I remember that prayer being prayed in 1995 at a Rodney Howard Brown meeting I was at. And I had that prayer with me. I said, amen, more, give me more, give me more. And I did for the next 10 years. The only thing was it didn't kind of come in the way I felt it was going to come. But it's been the best thing that's happened. Because it changes your heart. It changes your mind. It changes who you are. And God makes you bigger. See, you can't make yourself bigger. God makes you bigger. All you can do is believe. Suffering will enlarge you, make you a bigger person. Amen. Who wants to be enlarged? Every hand should be up. Amen. Whatever it takes, Lord. Yeah, give me more. Make me, and let me suffer as well, if that's what it means. I don't particularly like that, but. Verse 18, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. Verse 28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes for them. There's another scripture I remembered as a new convert. All things work for the good of the Lord. Then I went through some difficulties and I went through some setbacks. I didn't believe that scripture at that point at all. You know what I'm saying here? Things aren't always what they seem. Listen to this. The sunrise is not the sun rising, but rather the earth turning. Likewise, the same is true with the sunset. A man is not just a man, listen, but is the potential creator of an infinite number of human beings. A seed is a small object with the potential to become many forests with an infinite number of trees. And so as I'm here today and I look around and I see the different women here and different men here, you guys sitting in that one road right over here, there's potential in you. And you, I tell you right now, don't you deny the potential you have. Every one of you guys, you have enormous potential. And the devil's beat the tar out of you guys and knocked you down and said, there ain't. And they pointed out to you your past. See, you made the mistake of going by me there before I came up. And I felt God speak to me about every one of you guys. You have potential. And don't you let the enemy lie to you about it. Amen. Out of you can come great things. God can do a great work. Souls can be added into the kingdom. People can be redeemed from the powers of hell and darkness because of you men, if you just believe. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I feel it for you, especially. I'm going to have to come up and just slap you in a few minutes. Just to... I've had all this bent-up anxiety for some time. Maybe it's a good time to let it loose. Oh, I tell you, there's potential in this place. There's great potential. Look at your pastor. Amen. And his wife. Look at what God's doing through them. What a wonderful work. What a change there's been in this last 8-9 months. Somebody said adversity is nothing more than the blessing of God in disguise. The next time you go through adversity, understand it's the blessing of God. You may not see it, may not feel like it, but it's the blessing of God in disguise. God's preparing you. He's getting you ready for something. In James chapter 1, verse 2, we read these words. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. We used to sing this song years ago in the Assembly of God. When I used to be a part of the Assemblies of God at one time, my first thing in ministry was a assistant pastor of Assembly of God Church. And we sing this song. I don't know if they still sing it. Lift up your heads and say hallelujah anyway. When troubles come your way, lift up your head and say hallelujah anyway. Why? Because it comes right out of the word here. When troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Who does He bless? Those who what? Patiently endure testing and affliction and temptation. Afterward, they will receive, and this is verse 12, the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting a crown of life. I remember seeing when I was in China, I saw this video of these two Pakistanis who were converts from the Muslim faith. And because they got saved, they have been beaten almost to death and thrown in jail. Eventually, they were released. And when they were interviewed, their faces were beaming. After intense persecution, when they thought they were going to die, and you know what they said? They said, you know, we count it a joy and a privilege to suffer for Christ. While I was traveling around China, some of the people were praying, and they said, I said, what are you guys praying? They said, well, we're praying for persecution to come to America. I said, cut that out. I'm going back. They said, God's been speaking to us that there needs to be some persecution in America to wake the Christians up. They have a form of godliness, easily offended. Lukewarm. But then they deny the power of God within. Ever feel like giving up? Some of you boys have felt like giving up. Felt like that recently myself, come to think about it. I thought, what in the world? What else is going to go on? I said, Christy, I told my wife, I felt like punching someone. You know, and I can't say that because I'm a pastor. I've got to be reverend, you know. You know, lady for that. But anyhow, I'm just saying how I felt. I said, dear God, what's wrong with these people? And so I said, that's it. I said, I'm through. I don't care what God says. I drove home. I said, we're going home. Forget it. We got home. I checked the mail. All we had was one magazine, Costco. I thought, what the heck is this? One magazine. We got home about midnight. Gave her the magazine. She opened it up and says, I think you need to look at this. I said, why? It was entitled, Don't Give Up. I said, okay. And I repented. I said, oh, dear God. Don't give up. One day I decided to quit. I quit my job, my relationship, my spirituality. I wanted to quit my life. I went to the woods to have one last talk with God. God, I asked, can you give me one good reason not to quit? His answer surprised me. Look around, he said. Do you see the fern and the bamboo? Yes, I replied. When I planted the fern and the bamboo seeds, I took very good care of them. I gave them light. I gave them water. The fern grew quickly from the earth. Its brilliant green covered the floor, yet nothing came from the bamboo seed. But I did not quit on the bamboo. And God ain't quitting on some of you guys either. Amen. In the second year, the fern grew more vibrant and plentiful. And again, nothing came from the bamboo seed. But I did not quit on the bamboo. He said, in year three, there was still nothing from the bamboo seed, but I would not quit. In year four, again, there was nothing from the bamboo seed, yet I would not quit, he said. Then in the fifth year, a tiny sprout emerged from the earth. Compared to the fern, it was seemingly small and insignificant. But 6 months later, the bamboo rose to over 100 feet tall. It had spent the 5 years growing roots. Those roots made it strong and gave it what it needed to survive. I will never give any of my creations a challenge that it could not handle. God will never give you a challenge that you can't handle. He then said to me, did you know, my child, that all this time you have been struggling, you have actually been growing roots? Do you know that? I would not quit on the bamboo and I'll not quit on you. Don't compare yourself to others, he said. Amen. Don't compare yourself to others. The bamboo had a different purpose than the fern, yet they both make the forest beautiful. Your time will come, God said to me. You will rise high. How high should I rise? God said, how high will the bamboo rise? I replied, as high as it can. Yes, he said. Give me glory by rising as high as you can. I left the forest that day and brought back this story. I hope these words can help you see that God will never give up on you. Never, never, never give up. For the Christian prayer is not an option, but it is an opportunity. We are presented today with all kinds of opportunities. Things are changing in America. And I, for one, feel excited about the change. You can see the negative or you can see the positive. God is at work in the lives of men and women like never before, and He is indeed separating the sheep from the goats. You can always know a goat because they're always saying, but. I want to declare to you tonight, don't tell the Lord how big the problem is. Rather tell the problem how great God is. Let me say that again for you. Don't tell the Lord how big your problem is. Rather tell the problem, your problem, how great God is. You never know when God is going to bless you. You just never know. You just never know. So you've got to keep on keeping on. Remember, good things happen when you least expect them. Good things happen when you least expect them. Man, I can give you hours and hours of testimony about that right there. Problems are actually nothing more than God-given opportunities. Problems are God-given opportunities. In giving, you receive the blessing of God. But if you don't, the enemy has a right to take away from you what is God's. In other words, let me just read this for you, and then we're closing in just a few minutes. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Should people cheat God? Yet you've cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in the temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fail from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I started out my ministry in England and pioneered a church, and God began to help us. We did a lot of street witnessing. We got a lot of people saved. God began to move powerfully. We got caught every name in the book. We had about every kind of vegetable thrown at us when we preached on the street. But you know what? We just kept on doing it. And God began to cause the church to grow. And one day a farmer came to our church. And God bless his heart. And he came and as he became a part, he said, Pastor, what does it mean to give a tithe? I said, well, it means to give 10%. And I showed him this scripture. And I said, you know, that's the tithe. And then there's offerings. He said, okay. He said, well, I have a big farm. He said, do you think God will help me if I tithe? I said, yeah. So he began to tithe. And he began to give. And it was a good deal of money. And so, you know, he had his tests and he had his challenges. But there came a time when the storm started to hit East Anglia. And what happened is there were these heavy rains. Now, he had wheat and barley. And when the rain hit the wheat and barley, it hit the ground. And when it touches the ground, it goes moldy. The wheat and barley is ruined. So they had all these big storms come. And all the other farmers around him were freaked out because their crops were badly damaged, but none of his was. Not only was his crops left untouched, but when they did a check on the quality of the grain, his was of the highest quality, and he received the greatest price. Not only did he receive a much better price because of the quality, but he had an abundant harvest. See, he proved God in this, and God blessed him. See, what he thought was a horrible thing to hear about tithing and giving turned out to be a great blessing to him, and he gained far, far more back from that than what he ever gave and tithe. Sickness and pain could be an opportunity for God to heal you. We had some folks that have came to church recently. There was a man, he's 69 years old, he's a great guy. He's been in pain in his body all of his life. When he was a young child, when he came up for healing, I said, how long have you been in pain? He said, since I was a baby. He said, I was colic, and my father threw me against a wall. He was a drunk, and damaged my hip and damaged my spine. He said, I've been in constant pain my whole life. And he said, the last 15 years, he said, I've just learned to live with it. He said, the pain has been so bad in some areas that, you know, I just don't know what to do. He said, I don't want to take pain pills because I don't want to get hooked on them. So we prayed for him, and you know what happened? The power of God hit that guy and his pain left. I didn't know the condition of all this until later on of what had happened. But he started weeping, you know, and we prayed. He said, the pain's gone down. We prayed again, and the third time, all the pain left his body. He started walking, tears streaming down. His wife ran up, and I said, man, what's this? And he shared the story about this. This last, I think it was this last Sunday, Christine, or a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember, we had a lady come, and she said, I have pain in my feet. I have tumors in my feet. Can you pray for me? Now, you know, those things are bad things, but you know, things aren't always what they seem. God was about to strengthen that girl's faith. She told me she had tumors on her feet since she was a little girl. She had been in constant pain all of her life. And the pain goes from bad to very bad. So we had a chance to pray for that lady. And you know what happened? All the pain left. And she walked for the first time, weeping, praising God. Because for the first time in her life, God touched her and gave her deliverance from that pain. And I want to tell you, that lady who was sick, now she became a trophy of grace. And she shares with us how the Lord's helped her and how He's touched her. We've had numerous people come in the church. We've gone through hell this last 8-9 months. But I tell you what, we've experienced heaven as well. Because that whole group of people just went away. A whole different group of people came in. And these are good folk. They appreciate. They're thankful. They have gratitude. I want you to consider, just for a few moments, this. Present circumstances are nothing more than an opportunity for God to move on your behalf. What present circumstance do you find yourself in tonight? Where are you tonight? What are you experiencing tonight? Where are you tonight? Do you really want help? Do you really want something better? Amen. Adverse circumstances are nothing more than an opportunity for God to help you. Who knows what the Lord may do for you tonight? I know what happened last time I came here. How about David and Goliath? Here's this giant of a man. Some people say 8 feet, some say 17 feet tall. I don't know. He's a big dude. Either way. And he came out there, and his name means to speak with a demonic energized voice. So the words he spoke were demonically energized. And he intimidated God's people in the morning and the night. And where's God's warriors? They're hiding. Where's their leader? Hiding. And so here comes David to give some food to his brothers. But he'd been out there, see, insignificant places out there with the sheep looking after him. And there was a bear that came along, a lion came along. With God's help, he slew the both of them. What was God doing? He was enlarging him. He was preparing him for the things that were before him. So he gets in, he hears this Goliath dude. He says, "What's wrong with you guys?" Well, you know. And so next thing is, Saul comes up and tries to put his armor on him. Tries to put a lot of religious stuff on him. He says, "Man, I don't need all that stuff. What I need is God. I need God to help me." Amen. See how far God was in that guy. You got to get a little bit crazy sometimes. I don't mean to tell all these stories, but I got to share this. In Australia, I had a friend of mine who was a pastor. And I saw a picture of him. He showed me, and he had a beard down to his ankles. He looked like Rip Van Winkle, you know. And he told me he was a wild man. He used to travel over the world. He was on a train in India, and all in a little private cabin. These other guys were in there. And he said he looked around. He knew they were getting ready to rob him. So he said, "Man, I got to think of something." So being kind of a crazy guy, he jumped and goes, "Ah!" And he started punching everybody. Well, they all thought he was mad, so they all ran out and left. He said, "I never forgot that, and I never have either." Sometimes you just got to get radical with the enemy. Sometimes you don't have to listen to all those thoughts sometimes. You just got to rise up and believe. And so here comes David. He says, I'll take care of that guy. I don't need your armor. I got my sling here. The God who's with me, who killed that lion and that bear, is going to be with me now." And he went up there to the brook. You know what happened? He picked up 5 pebbles. Goliath had 4 brothers, 4 relatives. They were watching very, you know, laughing. "Hell yeah, Goliath's going to do him in." But he put his that little stone in that slingshot, wound that baby up, let it go, went right into his forehead, knocked him out. I'll tell you what, those other 4 brothers now, they were getting worried. And here comes the man, if this is just a kid, what's the rest of the army like if they get going? He runs up there, grabs the Goliath sword, picks the thing up, must have been huge, dropped it, cut its head off, lifted it up and said, "Yeah, you see this? I'm coming for you next." You don't have to be intimidated by the enemy anymore. You need to intimidate him. You don't have to let him give you a hard time. You just start praising God. You know, every devil, the devil hates that. Just start praising God. "Well, I ain't got nothing to praise him for. Who cares?" Yeah. anyway. Stop praising for the stars and the grass and flowers or something. I don't know, mountains. For the word of God, for salvation. How great. Man, when you start, it'll just flow in. And if you don't know what to do, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Start speaking in tongues. And all of a sudden, words will come into your head. Then start speaking in English. And when you don't want else to pray, amen, then start praying in tongues again. And then all of a sudden, you have more things to say. And if that don't work, open your Bible up to Psalms and start praying that. Amen. Put your name in there. Amen. Let me close. Hopefully. Are you guys, are you okay? Everyone, are you, not anybody getting bored? God, I mean, I better not put your hand up. You need to remember that God knows what you need. I'm going to close. This is my illustration sermon, okay? It's just, I have a lot of it. Who cares? Things aren't always what they seem. Can you say amen? Things aren't always what they seem. Yeah. Devil may look at you as a broken down, pathetic, weak, defeated individual, but things ain't what they seem. Because the Holy Ghost is just liable to get a hold of you and lift you up and stir you up and raise you up. Amen. Turn the tables on the enemy. Amen. Two traveling angels stopped to spend the night in the home of a wealthy family. The family was rude and refused to let the angels stay in the mansion's guest room. Instead, the angels were given a small space in the cold basement. As they made their bed on the hard floor, the older angel saw a hole in the wall and repaired it. When the younger angel asked why, the older angel replied, "Things aren't always what they seem." The next night, the pair came to rest at the house of a very poor but very hospitable farmer and his wife. After sharing what little food they had, the couple let the angels sleep in their bed where they could have a good night's rest. When the sun came up the next morning, the angels found the farmer and his wife in tears. Their only cow, whose milk had been their sole income, lay dead in the field. The younger angel was infuriated and asked the older angel, How could you have let this happen? The first man had everything, yet you helped him, he accused. The second family had little but was willing to share everything, and you let the cow die. Things aren't always what they seem, the older angel replied. When we stayed in the basement of the mansion, I noticed there was gold stored in the hole in the wall. Since the owner was so obsessed with greed and unwilling to share his good fortune, I sealed the wall so he couldn't find it. Then last night, as we slept in the farmer's bed, the angel of death came for his wife. I gave him the cow instead, because things aren't always what they seem. You're here by the destiny of God tonight, because God has a plan for you. He sees your potential. He's able to turn things around. He's able to raise you up. He's able to change your mode of thinking. Why? Because God can do everything. Sometimes when things don't turn out the way they should, if you have faith, you just need to trust that every outcome is always to your advantage, although you might not realize it until some time later. And I made a little note to myself to share this. This is really for me, but I'm going to share it with you. Many people have labored long and hard for the harvest, but are driven back by the mountains, are driven back to the mountains by the enemy, who comes in and reaps their harvest. However, please understand that God also balances the books, and God is going to let us fulfill and experience all of the hopes and dreams He has placed in our heart. It says in Psalm 37, verse 4, what does it say? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And if He puts new desires in your heart, He's going to give you the outcome of them as well. Can you say amen? Amen.